bit of a different school board meeting that we had. And yeah, you got to admire folks wanting to participate on Monday.
Sure. Yeah, we. Good morning, and it's a beautiful, beautiful morning, and it's glad to be here. Yes, our actual school board business part of the agenda was relatively short. We did have numerous people come and participate for public comment. All of those comments were centered around mask mandates, and so obviously that was not something that we had any action item on the agenda, but you know, our community, there's some folks in our community just wanted to make sure that they were being heard, and so they signed up, and everybody was respectful and had some there was some points made on all sides of the issue, and you know, we listened to those. I think we had 17 folks speak
at least.
I think we have 17 or 18, and but I appreciate, of course, we live in a great place. You know, Bartlesville's a wonderful place, and there was no, you know, we were there's some across the country, you know, seen some school board meetings and city council meetings and some different things where they've kind of gotten off the rails, and that didn't happen. So we're just continuing to navigate. Like I said, they gave their public comment, and then we kind of went on about our school board business kept on. And actually, the like I said, the business part of the meeting was relatively short. You know, once we got past the public comment piece, we have a monthly part of the agenda on the superintendent's report. It's just the school year update, which obviously COVID is part of that. And so, you know, that's why when people sign up, they're able to talk that first part of the meeting. And part of that update that we shared, you know, I guess we'll go ahead and talk about COVID since we're here.
That was an odd-looking graph that Granger Metter presented with a very quick spike and a kind of a retreat after that.
Yeah, that's a big factor. You know, once we... Oh, you know, what's interesting is we're getting close to finishing up the first quarter of school. I mean, we're into the seventh week, which is pretty, pretty amazing. And I know this morning we check, we post our data. It's updated every 5 minutes of our actual number of cases. I checked it obviously this morning, and as of this morning, we had 7 staff members, which is about 1% of our entire staff are in isolation with COVID. And then we have, 26 students total, which is 0.4% currently are in isolation with a case. And those numbers have kind of plateaued. You know, about a month ago, they really had skyrocketed. We had over 100 cases. And so they've kind of the last few weeks have come back down, and we're hopeful that will continue. So we just keep, you know, just keep working through the COVID. I mean, Granger also mentioned, Mr. Metter also shared about we had made a large investment for air purifiers throughout the district. You know, that's something that research says can benefit folks in terms of having that better circulation. And so we purchased some a year ago and had them in some common spaces, but we're using stimulus money to purchase those for all classroom spaces. That was approved Monday night, so those will be, you know, as soon as they can come in, we'll get those deployed out to all the classroom spaces. So we just continue to navigate the pandemic. Obviously, we'll continue to monitor the data. You know, if those numbers start to change, we may look at some other mitigation strategies. Obviously, just on the mask mandate, which is a unique term, I should say, because actually there's some...
The mandate doesn't necessarily mean mandate. It kind of just means...
That's right.
Semi-rule. Please explain that.
Yeah, well, the situation in Oklahoma, there's state law, and districts when you hear about a mask mandate, you can have a mask mandate. However, you have to have opt-out options. So, in other words, if a student or staff do not want to wear a mask, they can opt out for a medical exemption, religious exemption, or personal exemptions. And a personal exemption means basically they just don't want to.
So how do you enforce this?
Well, that's the challenge. Exactly. Thank you. So that's the challenge that comes up with it too. And so, you know, and obviously I do video calls with superintendents across the state weekly. I'll have one here in just a little bit. And that's the challenge that you run into. I was visiting with a superintendent that had the mandate that they had approved a week ago. That's most close to our size and enrollment. Yep. And he had mentioned to me, the day before they were starting, they had opt-out options, and they have about 7,000 students. And as of Monday, when I visited with him, they had over 2,400 folks have opted out. You know, so if you think about that, you know, in terms of the actual management of it, you just assume if folks aren't wearing a mask that they've opted out, and you just kind of keep going. So I will say that at our schools, you know, school itself is going very well. I mean, we've had, it's been much less disruptive. We have fewer students that are out with quarantines. We still are dealing with it. We still do have kids and staff that have to miss because of COVID-related things. But, you know, we just continue to work through it. We've been able to have our events. You know, we do, at some point, our alert levels are going to go down. Those alert levels, as a reminder, they change weekly. We find out on Wednesday what our city and county numbers will come out.
A couple hours, we'll know.
We'll find out here just a little bit. Obviously, we know we average those, our city numbers, along with our school numbers, to come up with what that average is, what that alert level is for the next week. And so hopefully that'll continue to come down. Obviously, we've got the winter coming up, which anytime you have when we're more indoors, it's more likely for anything like that to spread.
Sure.
So we'll just continue to monitor it and work through it. I think that's about it on the...
Where did all these kids come from? Enrollment's up, and they came from all kinds of states.
Yeah, we had our enrollment. We did have. We are having an enrollment surge, which is really interesting. About a 5% enrollment spike this year. I know I shared that with the board last month, which, of course, we're about 3 days into school. So we've done a little bit more digging on to determine, to answer that question. Okay, we have more kids. Where are they coming from? Because, you know, the size of our town's about the same. We haven't seen much change there. And it's been interesting. We've had several come in. We've had over 150 kids come in from out of state. Which I don't really have a good comparison on how that compares to previous years. And I think I shared this last time. We've done some digging on, we've had several kids return from that maybe been in an online charter school like Epic or Connections Academy. I think we've had 42 students return that were enrolled in one of those schools. We've had 24 kids that were homeschooled previously that have enrolled in our school. And then we've got a couple of local private schools, St. John's and Wesleyan, that we've had 18 students that have come in. So, like I said, our enrollment is up. We have over 6,100 students, which is great for our district. And so, obviously, we have continued to, we've added some staff because we lowered our class sizes, our elementary level. We've had some increased enrollment. So, obviously, if these are kids, you know, when they stay with us, we'll be looking at adding some more staff for us for the next year. But overall, that's how most of our funding comes from the state, and which is determined by the number of kids that you have in our school. So that's a good thing. I think that it's a I think at least part of that has to be we've been pretty pragmatic about working through this pandemic this past year, and I think that's has to have helped us in terms of our credibility in the community and parents feeling comfortable sending their kids to school. We do continue to offer options, full-time virtual options for our kids. We have about 2.5% of our student body are being educated virtually. So yeah, so that's probably the biggest news really from the start of the school year outside of the pandemic is our increased enrollment, which is a great thing. It's a really great thing for our community.
You want to brag on some students about that?
I do. We always this time of year. We found out we have a 3 national merit semifinalists, Charlie Olson, Taryn Vinod Kumar, and Morgan King. Those 3 young men were all national merit semifinalists, great kids. And then we had another 4 students that were recognized by the College Board that didn't quite make the semifinalists, but they had another recognition program. Mercedes Aldana, Aaron Carey, Reagan Hodge, and Brandy Woods were able to recognize all 7 of those kids at the board meeting. Well, actually, one of them was playing softball, so I think we had 6 of them that were there. Yeah. So it's always fun to recognize kids for their academic achievement. Kylie Green is a senior, and she's a gymnast. You know, gymnast is not a sport in the Oklahoma Secondary Schools Activities Association, but we have a strong the club. Gymnastics club here that they compete. They compete at the national level, and Kylie is one of the best. She received the Shannon Miller Award, which is only the 2nd Bartlesville gymnast that has received that in 25 years. So really proud of Kylie. She's an excellent student. And those gymnasts, they put in lots. I mean, it's incredible how much time that they put in. And I asked her at the board meeting what her plans were for the future. And she's, you know, her goal is to try to get into the Air Force Academy and wants to continue to compete as a gymnast. So really glad that we could finally take the time to honor, to recognize that, because she's one of our kids, but obviously sometimes they don't get the same recognition because it's not a school sport. But,
well, you know, with her athleticism and the way she bounces around, she's had a little bit of thing with flight there.
Yeah, that's true.
But now, you know, you got to, you know, mechanize to help you out.
Yeah, that's true.
And speaking of people who kind of move through the air pretty good, David Martinez got a special.
Yeah, David Castillo. Yes, Castillo, David Castillo. No, you're right. Yeah, so we've talked actually at our last board meeting. We just found out he had made that under 16, that the USA basketball team, and then obviously They went right on and played in the tournament, and they won the gold medal. And so we were able to, Coach Stewart was there and recognized David, and just a great kid, great young man, and really proud to that he got that experience. And it's really neat for our community to have, from our little town, to have this kid that's been selected and performed so well.
He
did great, and really, especially in the championship game, is really when he got his most playing time there in the fourth quarter. I think he hit three or four threes and helped them win. So that was fun. It's always fun for our kids to receive that, for our board and for our community to see what our kids are doing right here at our school. We approved our, just on the action items, we just approved our estimate of needs for our budget, and then we also on our bond projects, we approved our just a couple things just to kind of update everybody. We approved a contract with Manhattan Construction. That's who we used as our construction manager in 2019. We're going to use them for some projects in 2021, and that's going to include our ag facility, the entrances at Wilson and Kane, as well as the our indoor facilities for our baseball and softball, and softball also have a place for their golf teams. And so we approved a initial contract with them for that. They'll still go through all the bidding process. This is just kind of the form to get the process started. And then outside of the Manhattan contract, we'll be going out to bid to replace our track, also our visitor bleachers. And then we'll have our elementary gyms are going to be updated. Those gym floors will be updated, and all of that work will be done over in the next year. With the exception of the ag facility, it's a bigger project, obviously, than the other ones. We probably won't get it out to bid until the spring. But we are going to be working with Manhattan Construction, and excited to get those going. We're hopeful to, on those indoor facilities, obviously with baseball season coming up, we're hopeful to get those indoor projects going so that they can get some use out of that in the spring. However, with COVID, obviously, there's lots of delays in everything. And so we're really kind of going to be at the mercy of when some materials can get in. So, and I also wanted to mention, too, a couple of quick things, too.
Sure.
We do have homecoming coming up here in a couple of weeks, which is our... here in 2 weeks, when we play Muskogee that week, and we'll do our homecoming parade. Will be that Thursday evening, and our kids—they're so sharp. Last year for the first time, they had a parade where the kids stayed in one spot, and everyone could drive through and see them. And they did it at the high school, and so this year they've decided, which is a smart move, I think, they're going to do it over in Johnstone Park.
Yeah,
and so just like when they do the Fantasy Land of Lights, and so they're going to set up there and people can drive through. So that'll be the Thursday evening, the evening before the football game, which will really be a lot of fun. The kids really enjoy that.
That's innovative thinking. I like that.
Yeah, I do too. And then also lastly, just wanted to mention on our Bruins on the Run program, in terms of Wool Rock Run, we have about 115 fifth graders that are participating in that. 55 mentors are running with those kids. They're going to be running the Miles for Mammograms 5K on Saturday. Matter of fact, I'm going to get out there and run it with them. But we have over 100 kids that are participating in that Wool Rock race. And so far, from our staff's perspective, we have 128 of our staff members are going to participate in that Run the Streets Wool Rock 8K as well.
Good. So. Hey, by the way, we're talking about the ag building here, but I saw a lot of ag students out at the Washington County Pre-Fair.
Yeah.
And